The Royal Priesthood and the Glory of God by David S. Schrock, Crossway, 2022, 199 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance. Table of Contents. Introduction: Recovering the Glory of the Royal Priesthood. 1. In the beginning, the royal priesthood patterned. 2. The law. The Levitical priesthood legislated. 3. The prophets. The priesthood promised, compromised, and promised again. 4. The writings. The royal priesthood anticipated. 5. The gospels. The royal priesthood arrives. 6. Acts through Revelation. The royal priesthood multiplies. Epilogue. Summary. Introduction. Recovering the glory of the royal priesthood. It is only in Christ that the glory of God can be fully revealed. The priesthood in the Old Covenant was a faint shadow of the priesthood of Christ, and it is through the priestly ministry of Jesus that God's glory is revealed and shared. Without the priesthood and mediation of Christ, there would be no gospel. In the Old Testament, we find priests before the time of Moses, and we have a promise that one day after David, there will be a priest king in the order of Melchizedek. It was only under the Old Covenant that priests had to descend from Levi. Before that time, Adam and the patriarchs were royal priests. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 provides a basic definition of the nature and duties of the high priest. Before the time of Aaron, the patriarchs built altars and offered blood sacrifices. We can define priesthood in the following way. Priests are consecrated mediators between God and His covenant people, who stand to serve at God's altar, 1. Sanctifying God's holy place, 2. Sacrificing God's offerings, and 3. Speaking God's covenant. The Levitical priesthood decoupled priests from kings, but this was not the ultimate goal. In fact, the goal was for priesthood and kingship to be combined. Melchizedek, the king priest, is the most important figure in Scripture for a biblical theology of priesthood. The beauty and glory of Christ's perfect priesthood is seen in his sacrifice, sanctification, and speaking. Chapter 1. In the beginning. In the beginning, God created Adam to be a king and priest. Priesthood is not explicitly explained or given until Sinai, but the pattern is found in Genesis. In Genesis chapters 1 through 3, we find the nexus of sanctuary, priest, and sacrifice. Adam was placed in a garden sanctuary where God's holy presence dwelt. Eden served as the pattern for the tabernacle. Adam and Eve were to serve the Lord as priests and mediate his reign to the rest of the world. God commissioned Adam as a priest, using words that were picked up to describe priestly functions in the Old Covenant. That is, work, serve, or keep guard. Subsequent biblical passages make connections between Adam, Eden, priesthood, and the tabernacle. In fact, this pattern in Genesis chapters 1 through 3 sets the mold for the patriarchal priestly activity, although after the fall into sin, there was a new focus on animal sacrifices. The patriarchs serve and sanctify holy places, bring sacrifices to altars, speak to God on behalf of others, and speak for God in blessing other people. With Abel, we see that the sons of Adam called on the name of the Lord and were to offer their best sacrifices in faith to Yahweh. It is Noah who builds the first altar recorded in Scripture, Genesis chapter 8, verse 20. He is commissioned to mediate God's covenant and to pronounce blessings. Abraham builds altars, makes intercession, and offers sacrifices, especially Genesis chapter 22. As Abraham is a priest of God through faith and his commitment, so the Levites are appointed because they are faithful to God even over their kin. Abraham's meeting with Melchizedek, who is the king priest, is extremely important for understanding the theology and fulfillment of priesthood. Abraham is made a priest who is similar to Melchizedek, but Christ, the seed of Abraham, is the only one who perfectly fulfills what a royal and glorious high priest was meant to be. Chapter 2. the law. Although believers are not under the Old Covenant today, understanding the intricacies of the old system is vital for grasping the nature of the New Covenant. The old Levitical system provides the pattern for the new and establishes the categories through which we can understand Christ's priestly work and our role as priests in the New Covenant. There are many details in the law, but five key areas are that Aaron and his sons, 1, mediate the covenant, 2, guard the tabernacle, 3, bring sacrifices to the altar, 4, teach the people, and 5, intercede for Israel. Due to sin and weakness, the Levitical priesthood was never sufficient, and a greater, perfect priest was desperately needed. In Exodus chapter 19, God claims Israel as his own kingdom of priests, and it is at Sinai that the firstborn are set apart for priestly service. It is only later that the Levites are substituted for them. Aaron and his sons are set apart for special priestly service, just like Adam had been. Moses also serves as a priest, and it is his priestly intercessory prayers for Israel and Aaron that save them. It is the priests who are given instructions for caring for the house of the Lord, the central cleansing of which occurs on the Day of Atonement. And the Levites are given to the sons of Aaron as assistants who are to serve and guard at the tabernacle. They were not, however, allowed to minister at the altar. God made a covenant with the priests and Levites, but sin and death kept the high priest from living forever. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 8 through 11, provides a succinct account of the role of the priests. The priests were to serve in the presence of God, drawing near to him in their ministries at the altar. They were to protect the holiness of God's house and protect the people from God's wrath. Priests offered blood sacrifices at the altar, and without this blood, the people would not be forgiven and cleansed from sin. Israel's priests were also to teach the people God's covenant law, training them to distinguish the clean from the unclean. Priests were also to pray and intercede for the people. No priest lived up to this holy calling. It is only in Christ that the category of priesthood finds its perfect fulfillment. Chapter 3. The Prophets. In the book of Joshua, we find that the priests are serving faithfully. There is no rebuke for them, and the people are experiencing blessings. The priests lead the people over the Jordan. They carry the ark as they march around Jericho, and they set up the tabernacle at Shiloh, which are all acts which let the people draw near to God. In Joshua, they instruct the people to maintain the purity of the holy place. After Joshua's death, however, Judges reveal the failure of the Levites to lead the people in holiness and instruct them in obedience to God's laws. At the end of Judges, Levites are actually leading the way in apostasy and horrific sins. In the opening lines of 1 Samuel, we see the sons of Eli sinning egregiously and abusing their priestly roles. When Israel fights the Philistines, the ark itself is lost. In the divided monarchy, the northern tribes establish a rival system of idolatrous worship, complete with priests who lead the people astray. Although the historical books mention some good priests, the prophets condemn the priesthood as idolatrous and apostate. Rather than teaching the people the true ways of God, they led the people into sin. They served for personal gain and offered unclean sacrifices. With these condemnations, there is also a promise of a better covenant and a better priesthood to come. The first explicit promise of God's raising up a new priest does not come near the end of the Old Testament, but actually before the monarchy in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35. This need for a new, faithful priest is developed in subsequent scripture, and hope is set on a figure who will serve as a faithful royal priest. David is not called a priest, but he is a king who functions in some priestly ways. For example, offering sacrifices, blessing the people, wearing an ephod, bringing the ark to the city, and in buying the location where the future temple would be built. David wrote about a great king priest to come, Psalm 110, and both Jeremiah and Zechariah prophesied of a future royal priest. Isaiah and Jeremiah envision a day when the people from every nation are made priests of God, serving Him in new covenant worship. The Levitical priesthood is replaced by a better one, where every priest is consecrated to draw near to God and serve Him in holiness. Chapter 4. The Writings. The prophets condemn the old priesthood for its sinful failures and look forward to a better priest serving in a better covenant. In the writings, the theme of the glorious priest to come is further developed. Psalms and Daniel contribute to this theme, but 1st and 2nd Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah display it prominently. In Chronicles, we find that when the Davidic king was good, the priests led the people well. But when the king was evil, the priests failed too. Throughout Chronicles, David is described in royal and priestly terms, and some of his descendants are likewise seen as royal priestly figures who discharge certain elements of priestly work and service. Chronicles reveals a pattern of how kings and priests were to work together. Not every priestly task could be performed by the king. One of the reasons for the exile was that the priests failed to lead the people and protect the holiness of God's house. Ezra and Nehemiah may be the most priestly book in the writings. The book is filled with reference to priests and Levites, as well as with descriptions of what they should be doing. Ezra and Nehemiah is best treated as a singular work. Although there are positive examples, some of the priests married foreign women, and the glory of the Lord did not return to fill the temple. The leaders intervened to purify the priests and Levites, but even after their return from exile, it is clear that a greater priesthood is needed. Psalm 110 is the most important passage in the Old Testament for understanding how Jesus, the Son of David, can be a faithful high priest. When Psalm 110 is read in its context in Psalms 107 through 150, we see additional elements of how Christ is a priest and how He reigns through sacrifice. Psalm 132 elaborates on the ideas found in 110, showing that priesthood will be connected to righteousness rather than Levitical descent. Daniel chapters 7 and 9 put a royal priesthood on center stage. In Daniel chapter 7, elements of both Adam and Aaron are found in the description of the Son of Man coming into the presence of God. In Daniel chapter 7, a prince offers himself as sacrifice to establish a strong covenant. These prophecies are fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Chapter 5. The Gospels. The Gospels never refer to Jesus as a priest, but they make His priesthood clear by recording His actions and words. When Christ came to Jerusalem, His priestly ministry was set against the priests and leaders who sinfully rejected Him and put Him to death. We see how Jesus fulfills the main priestly functions of sanctifying God's people and place, sacrificing right offerings, and speaking God's covenant. Luke chapters 1 through 2 introduces Jesus as a royal priest in a variety of ways. He is the priestly king in the line of David. Jesus is shown to surpass John the Baptist, even though John is born in the priestly line. It is Jesus, the firstborn, who replaces and saves the Levites, reversing the substitution order of the old covenant. Luke's genealogy traces back to Adam, showing that Jesus is greater than Adam, and this includes Adam's priestly role. Jesus is the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecies of the royal priest to come, as well as the fulfillment of other prophetic material. The Gospel of John, likewise, introduces Jesus as a royal king priest. Jesus is clearly shown to be a priest in the Gospels by the things He says and does. His teaching and pronouncements about clean and unclean, and righteousness and sin, are fundamentally priestly. In healing the leper, Jesus purifies him and acts as a priest. He also purifies the temple and pronounces the forgiveness of sins. Going beyond the priests, He is able to both forgive and heal. Although it was not only the priests who prayed, when Jesus prays, there are definite priestly elements of intercession in His words. Jesus' climactic priestly work comes when he offers himself as the perfect sacrifice of atonement that takes away sin. Every gospel leads to the cross, and every gospel reveals that the cross is a substitutionary sacrifice offered by Christ as high priest, acting as the mediator of the covenant. There are a host of explicit and subtle ways that the gospel writers make this point. Jesus is not merely passive in the sacrifice. He actively offers it. Without question, Jesus functions as a high priest in the Gospels. Chapter 6. Acts through Revelation. Christ's royal priesthood multiplies in the church. The book of Acts begins with the ascension, where Jesus is installed as the king priest at the right hand of the Father. As a result, the Spirit is poured out, and it is the Spirit who makes Christ's followers into priests in his kingdom. The church is cast as the new temple, and believers are given priestly roles and responsibilities in service. Acts records the conversion of priests and Levites, and Gentiles are gathered in to serve as priests, as was prophesied in Isaiah. The epistles of Paul and Peter contain many instances of the language and imagery of priest, temple, and sacrifices. The church is called to keep God's house holy, serving and worshiping him, and maintaining boundaries. It is also given the task of speaking the word of God. This is accomplished through reading scripture, teaching, praying, and proclaiming the gospel. The church offers spiritual sacrifices to God, and every believer, as a priest, should offer sacrifices to God. The book of Hebrews is explicit about the fact that Jesus is the high priest. Psalm 110 is cited and alluded to several times, and Christ is clearly established as the royal priest. He is called the high priest and is said to have provided atonement through his sacrifice on the cross. Christ was appointed by God to be the high priest, and the king priest precedent is traced from Melchizedek. The main elements of priestly service, sanctifying God's holy place, speaking God's truth, praying for and blessing the people, and offering acceptable sacrifices, are perfectly and ultimately fulfilled by Christ. He is our covenant mediator and always makes intercession for his people. It is only through his sacrifice that we are redeemed, made holy, and can draw near to God. The book of Revelation also depicts Christ as a glorious priest who has won the victory through his sacrificial death and has made his people into a kingdom of priests who engage in worship and spiritual warfare. Copyright 2024. Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.